Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
We started a series some time ago called the Core Values. And really, you know, it seems like every business has core values. You know, you can go to any corporation, they always have their core values and, you know, their mission statement is kind of the end thing nowadays. But the Spirit of God, really, when He gave me the core values, I know they were for Best Life Church, but really they're for every human being that is a new man. You understand that there are two species in the earth. There is the natural man and there's the new man. And the new man is here because of the one event in the history of human beings that is called the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I made this statement one time, and I think I'll repeat it. We ought not to treat these things that we see in the Word of God as our personal beliefs. We don't treat the Emancipation Proclamation or the existence of Abraham Lincoln and what he did as our personal beliefs. We treat them as a fact in the history of mankind. So is what Jesus did in the earth. He went to the cross, paid the lien that was against the entire human race, and then Father in 3 days raised him up. So we ought to relate to those things as if they are events in history of the human race that are facts, not just our personal belief system, because they are. And believe me, it does change the way you relate to those things. What if we, as the new man, understood that our mission on this planet was to demonstrate to the natural man what the new model looks like and how it functions? You know, I've used this analogy before, and, you know, I guess as long as we have technology, it's always going to be changing. But for the sake of illustration, nobody in this room owns a Palm Pilot. They went out in the early 90s, I think. Yeah. But most everyone wants something that's online constantly, correct? Even your computer system that's on at your house, most of them are all online constantly. They're not just in your house and there's no access to anything else outside your four walls. So it is, if you would lay it out like that, so it is with the new man. That what Jesus did when he was raised from the dead is he took a natural man who was just being simply living and existing as a two-part being in his mind and his emotions, what his eyes saw, what his ears heard. And he took that man and he put himself in that man, the Spirit of God in him. He connected his spirit with God's spirit, so the man became one spirit with him. And in doing so, what he actually did was he gave that man the ability to function the original way that man was created to function. Not out of his mind, not out of his emotions. How many know if you try to live life in your mind and your emotions, you're on a roller coaster, you'll be up one day, down the next, this way, that way, all over the board, and you won't be living constant and established. But Jesus gave us the ability to not just guess. How many have heard the religious thought process? Well, you never know what God's going to do. Yeah, that's this guy talking. Because this guy doesn't. He has no clue because he's not connected. He's not one spirit with him. But the new man should never talk that way, because in 2 Corinthians, the Spirit of God says from Father, through Paul, that the reason why Father gave us his spirit is so we would know specifically what Father is thinking. And you might as well put in there at all times. Right? So, the core values that he gave us are really, you know, they are for us as a church. And I just be honest with you folks, I believe, you know, we're not, you know, we're here in this facility for a season. But there will come a point in time when we have a larger facility, and then there'll come a point in time when we have a larger facility. So don't get the understanding that here I am standing here speaking out against anything else that's out there, because that's not the case. Our focus is not on human beings. Our focus is not on organizations. Our focus is not on anything else except thought processes that cause you to live small in your own head and well below what the Spirit of God and what Father created you to function at. So when we talk about the core values, we're not speaking in an environment it's us versus anyone else. We're speaking in an environment that this is the culture that the Spirit of God wants to create and establish in this church and from this church. And frankly, there are other ones out there. But I believe that what he wants to do is he wants to change a culture in what is called church. Did you hear what I just said? Hello? Anybody here? He wants to change a culture in what is called church. And I don't say that in a disparaging way, and please don't put it in that light. Because really what he wants to do is he wants to bring us to the place where we understand. We don't read the book of Acts and say, well, it must have been pretty wild to live back then. Because what you read in the book of Acts is happening right now. So these core values really are designed for us to understand who we are, first of all, as the new model, and how the new model functions. And I'll just be honest with you. I may say some things today. You know, I've asked the Spirit of God to help me, because I don't want to come from a place of, a wrong place or wrong motives. But I think sometimes we get comfortable just functioning in the old church model, because that's all we've ever known. But I believe the Spirit of God wants to change that, and he wants to move us from that place of being in our comfort zone and making zero impact on society, to where we just allow him to flow out of us, because he's a reality to us. His presence is real. It's not just a theory. So the first core value we talked about was talking about the seeing yourselves in the mirror of the new creation. So many times, you know, we parent the verses in 2 Corinthians 5 that says, any man that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But really, still, it's just theory. It's just some theology we're supposed to learn because we see it in there, and that's what everybody's told us, that we are a new creation, so therefore we quote that verse. But what does that actually mean? Well, we found out, and if you know, the series is all up on the website, and for those of us that hear this at a later date, I'm sure it'll be available. Because we found out that as a new creation, when Paul said that old things have passed away, he wasn't just talking about, okay, well, you used to be one of them sinners. And you smoked and drank, cussed and chewed, and ran around with them that did. But now, you got Jesus. And hallelujah, you got Jesus. But that's not exactly what Paul's talking about. Because when he says old things have passed away, what he's actually talking about is the system that you functioned in as a natural man. It's not the same system over here as the new man. The new model has different parameters. The new model has access to things that the natural man does not have. The natural man, the things of the Spirit of God, are foolishness, because they can't see them. So therefore, you know, Jesus said they can't receive the Holy Spirit because they can't see him. Well, how many know, as a new man, Paul basically said, as the new man, you'll see things that others don't see, and you'll hear things that others don't hear. And that's the way the new man and the new model is supposed to function. But it seems like so much of what we've gotten used to and what we call a church is really just this guy over here going into a building, sitting in a chair, and saying amen now and then, but he still functions like this guy as the natural man when he leaves the building. If it's convenient, he'll do it. If it's not, he'll just spread it for somebody else. Or, you know, he pays more attention to things in the natural than he does in the things going on in the spirit realm. And the fact is, as the new model, it's just the opposite. We're supposed to be aware of those things. We're supposed to always be aware of what's going on the inside of us. So we see ourselves, first of all, in the mirror of the new creation. And folks, that takes some doing. John said, we've come to know and believe the love that God has for us. A lot of folks say they know the love God has for them, But they don't actually believe it because when they look in the mirror, they put themselves down. And when you're in the presence of Jesus, he'll never put you down. He'll only lift you up. We know that because Paul said, the anointing, the mantle that's been given to me, was given to me to build you up, not to tear you down. But so many folks think that when they don't want to get in the presence of the Lord, they don't want to spend any time with him, they don't want to spend any length of time and get intimate, so to speak, if I can use that word. It's not really a dude word, but you know what I'm saying. We don't want to go there because we've been told that if we go there, that Jesus will point out all your bad stuff. And the fact is, you're in the presence of love, and love says he believes the best of every person. It's not that you don't have issues. If you don't have issues, then you probably don't have a pulse either. Right? Because everybody's got issues. But the fact is, those issues are not supposed to be your focus. Those issues are supposed to be the things that, as you spend time with him and he builds you up, you got one, brother? You know, we need to pray for this man. But he builds you up and builds things into your life by the Spirit of God in his Word, that he asks you to make those adjustments. But when he asks you to make those adjustments, he's already equipped you to make those adjustments. So in you stepping and making those adjustments, you're actually bringing yourself to a higher level of life, as all the old junk falls off. All the natural man tendencies, all the natural man ways of thinking, all the natural man ways of seeing things or reacting to things, all that stuff goes away, and now you really are a new creation, and the old things really have passed away, because now you're functioning on a different system. Do you guys understand that? So when we see ourselves through the mirror, in the mirror of the new creation, see, you, what did Jesus say? You love yourself as you love your neighbor as you love yourself. First, he has to get you to love you. That's not real popular in church setting, in church culture, because church culture has told you you're supposed to hate yourself because you're such a wormy sinner. But that's not Bible, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's just religion. Because Jesus thinks you're the most remarkable thing on two legs. And he'll never say anything different about you. It doesn't mean you don't have issues. Let him deal with the issues, but have fellowship with him. And when you come out of the other side, you'll be the most remarkable, powerful individual that flows through the kingdom of God that anybody's ever known. But we don't want to back off and not go there. But we certainly don't want to put ourselves down. If you can't look at yourself in the mirror and say, you're a blessed man of God, you're a blessed woman of God, then you haven't known and believed the love that God has for you yet. And the challenge with that is because you love everyone else as you love yourself. Oops. Because the next core value is you refuse to see deficiency in other people. And the only way you can not see deficiency in other people is if you've trained yourself not to see deficiency in you. Paul made this statement. It was very interesting. He says, you know, it's not a big thing for me to be judged by you. He says, because I don't even judge myself. It doesn't mean that I'm without flaw or that I'm without error. That just means that I don't judge myself. I let the Spirit of God do that. But see, in order to do that, here's the challenge. In order to live that kind of life, we actually have to spend time with him. To adopt the kind of life where I don't judge myself and then not spend time with him, you're headed for the ditch. And how many know the ditch is not a good place? I don't know if I told you this one time. I was a kid. And if my parents ever hear this, sorry. But I like to play with fire when I was a kid, you know, so I don't even know where I was. I must have been in Illinois someplace, and I was walking down this ditch, and, you know, it's all grass, and it's all dried up, and I just decided I wanted to play with matches. So I'm lighting these matches, and I dropped one because it got too short, and it burned your hand, you know. You know, they burn down so fast. So then I dropped it, and it lit the grass on fire. Well, yeah, you never seen some kid stomp as fast and hard as he could in your life. Because all I could see was the whole place going up, and here I am in the middle. So, I don't know why I said that. Where was I going with that one? Anyway, oh yeah, getting in a ditch. Ditches are bad places. Anyway, so we want to make sure that we train ourselves to not see deficiency in people. And there's a number of reasons for that, and I told you this before, that we're instructed by the Word of God that we're supposed to walk in love. The challenge with that is you need to make sure that you're walking in the love that comes out, that is from the new man and not just your own natural man love. You say, what's the difference? Well, the natural man love is, I love you if you love me. The love that comes out of the new man is, I love you no matter what. What if Jesus had went to the cross, but he decided he was going to walk in the earth in the natural man love? Instead of going into the temple and turning over the tables and driving things out, he may have turned that whip on to somebody. He said, I know what you're going to do to me, so here's a little bit of that yourself. But I'm glad that even though all the stuff he went through, he still could be on the cross and he still said, Father, just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How much stuff would we keep out of our own heads if every time somebody treated us bad and he just said, Father, just forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because they don't. So we refuse to see deficiency in people. And if we walk in love, the Word of God says in Philippians chapter 1, that there is a place in the love of God. With the love of God comes the insight that God has. I was never taught this when I was a kid. I was raised in church my whole life. And I was never taught that the reason why he wants us to walk in love is because with the love of God comes the revelation that he has. And so when we keep ourselves in that place, Jude says that you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying out of your spirit. The Bible calls that tongues. Religion's made a bad thing of it. But how many know darkness always tries to curb us away from things that are going to be damaging to them? The biggest unfortunate issue with tongues is the fact that most of the modern traditional theological thought processes have not understood how that fits in the big picture. If you're a new man and the system is different than that system as a natural man, then why in the world would you be subject to and limited to the same system of what's in your head and only what's in your head as this natural man is? Because if he made you one spirit with him, then his spirit always has things to say and his spirit always has things he wants to show you. And if he has to get around your own mind to do it, then why would that be so odd that if your natural man has a voice, so does your spirit? It's not supposed to be odd. Religion's made it odd, but it's not supposed to be odd. It's just the way the new man does things. If you want to put it like this, it's like God gave us a back door, a direct line to him, his spirit and our spirit, to get things over to us. That's why Jude said when you pray in tongues, you pray out of your spirit, you're building yourself up upon your most holy faith, your most uncontaminated. Go to Hebrews 11, evidence of things not seen. You're building yourself up on your most uncontaminated evidence of things not seen. Because that is what faith is. We're not trying to get it. It's what comes out of your spirit by the Spirit of God. Every time he reveals something to you and an expectation and excitement comes upon you, that's faith showing up to tell you that it belongs to you. So therefore, that takes the job of you as a new model out of the arena of, okay, now I'm a Christian, so now I got to pony up and I got to act like it, I got to sound like it, I got to talk like it, I got to have faith, I got to walk like I have faith. It takes it out of that arena and it puts you back into the area of you're just going to rest and learn how to spend time with him. And every time he reveals something to you by his scripture, he's revealing it to you for you to take ownership of it and tell it, and so he knows it's yours. So when you take a hold of it and you take ownership of it, you just put it in as part of your life and you act like it. If he said, all things I can do through the one empowering me, and you start seeing verses like that all the time and they keep meshing together with that verse, and he shows you, and all of a sudden one day you're reading that verse and it dawns on you, if I can use that term, all things I can do through the one who's empowering me. Then you step out and you act on that. People would say, well, he's walking, he's stepping out on his faith. No, the faith didn't come from you, it came from him. He just opened the door and revealed it to you, and you grabbed it. Because you recognize Hebrews 11 says, faith is the evidence of the things that are not seen. So you just go for it. Keeps it out of the weird. Keeps it out of the arena of you're trying to get God to do something. Because he already did it. He's just revealing to you. If you're in the class this morning, he's basically revealing what's in heaven into the earth. Jesus said that's the system. You pray. The will that's in heaven, be on earth. And that's the system. That's the flow. So we want to see, we want to make sure we see people with no deficiency, because it keeps your mind clear. It keeps your eyes, your spiritual eyes tuned into what he wants to show you about the person, not just what your physical eyes are seeing. When you preload your head with a bunch of stuff that your eyes see and your ears hear and your emotions, then you're not going to hear and you're not going to pick up on the things that he wants to show you about that person. What's his vantage point? You know, so many in the church, it's so amazing. I taught a class this last week. And the question was asked, do you mean to tell me, are you saying that every human being that isn't a Christian has access to every one of the gifts of the Spirit? And I'll be honest with you, I know exactly where they're coming from, because we bend this book to match our experience. And so if we only seem to function along the lines of one particular one, then we say, well, that's my gifting. And they'll quote, you know, they'll show verses like in Acts chapter, what is it, 6, where Philip went in and the gifts of the Spirit were flowing through him and people got saved. But then after he got done doing his thing, Peter and John came in and they asked him about the Holy Spirit. They laid hands on them. So people say, well, see, they had the gifting of laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit. And I understand where we get those things. But did it ever occur to you and dawn on you that the reason why they came in is because they're the ones that spent 40 days with Jesus after his resurrection, and he spent 40 days speaking to them about the things concerning the kingdom, and he said to them, go to Jerusalem and be due with power and don't go anywhere until you are, and that's the only reason? Not the fact that there was a special gifting on those two versus Philip? See, we come up with all kinds of stuff to make sense out of things that we're not experiencing in the Word of God. Why don't we just go with what the Word says? If the Word says that it pleased the Father for all the fullness of the deity to dwell in Jesus, and then the very next verse says, and you've been made complete in Him. And really what the Greek New Testament says is you've been filled with the very same fullness. Okay, so what is that fullness? Well, John said, John chapter 1, we experience his fullness, the fullness of an only begotten Son, and it was grace upon grace, and it's the idea of accumulation, grace after grace after grace after grace after grace. But then somebody say, well, Jesus had the Spirit without measure. You mean you don't? Find me the verse where it says you don't have the Spirit without measure. It's not in there. We just adopt these things because we're more practiced in natural things than we are in some spiritual things. So why don't we just say, look, you know what? I'm not experiencing the fullness of the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, which is what the Word of God says I'm supposed to have, because he told me it pleased him to put the fullness of him in me. But what you do have, just practice that and believe him. Paul said this. He said, my desire is for you to zealously desire to prophesy. But yet you look at the majority of the body of Christ and everybody thinks that's a special gift. When Paul said, I want you to zealously desire to prophesy. Why? Because you go back to Acts chapter 2, the very manifestation of the Spirit of God, that which comes out of the Spirit of God, Peter quoted Joel and said, the manifestation of that which is coming out of the Spirit of God, among other things, dreams, visions, is you'll prophesy. Prophesy simply means you just speak the mind of another. You unveil the mind of Father. That's what the prophetic means. That's what it is. So if we're one spirit with Him and the Spirit of God is in us, then why should we not expect anytime, any place, anywhere for Father to have that flow through us? Let's just practice. And I answered the gal's question. I said, she said, well, why is it some people seem to flow in some things and some in others? I said, it's because they practice. Did you hear what I said? That's all it is, folks. Any areas that we don't seem to, quote, be used in, it's because we haven't stepped out and put ourselves in a position. And I said that right. We haven't put ourselves in a position for that manifestation to be needed. And practice, and then practice, and practice, and practice. So we want to see people with no deficiency so we can get the mindset of Father. And then we want to make sure we don't make any decisions based on fear. We don't want to pull away from people. Make an excuse in the natural as to why we're justified in doing it. But really what it is, it's just fear. Jesus didn't function by fear. What if Jesus functioned by fear? After he got treated bad once. Where's Jesus? We don't know. We haven't seen him for days. I'm glad he didn't do that. So we want to make sure we make no decisions based on fear. We don't pull away from each other. Come up with a real good sounding reason as to why it's okay. When that's just coming out of your own head and it's not coming from the Spirit of God. And other things that we do, you know, based on fear. We want to make sure we give the Word of God final authority. And I said this the reason I'm going over these again and again is because I guarantee if I hadn't gone through these, if I asked everybody, okay, name the core values without the sound guy putting them up on the screen. Probably not very many folks could name all of them. So if we're going to make this a culture and the way we function in our life, we need to make sure we know what they are. Right? So when we put the Word of God final authority in our life, we're not just saying we're putting print as final authority, because if I read a verse and asked 47 people what that verse said, I'd get 46 different answers. When we say we put the Word of God final authority, we mean we put the Word of God final authority as it's revealed by the Spirit of Truth. Because John said what makes the Spirit of Truth is the one that is the real issue. He's the one that the Father gave us. It was the promise given to the fathers that Jesus opened the door for it to be fulfilled, that the Spirit of the Truth would be back inside of a man. That really is the crux of the gospel, folks, is the fact that Father had a desire to put His Spirit back into him, the Spirit of a man. It really is that simple. We've kind of religiousized it up, but it really is that simple. So we want to make sure that we spend time in this Word. But we don't, you know, it's easy to spend time in this Word as it's been filtered by somebody else. Do you hear what I said? Paul said, really, he told the Corinthian church, they were all kind of going after them. Well, I follow this person. Well, I follow that person. Well, I follow this, that, and the other person. He said, look, I didn't baptize any of you guys. I said, is Christ broken up into fragments? There's nothing wrong with, you know, the fivefold ministry and teachers, and praise God for them, and praise God for what the Spirit of God has showed so many folks across the body of Christ. But when we put somebody up ahead of Jesus and the Spirit of God, then we're kind of backwards. Because Paul said everything that person got, they got from him. So if they got it from him, that means he'll give it to you too. There's been things that he's taught me out of his word that A year or two later, I hear somebody else are teaching the same thing he taught me a year or so back. I was like, wow. It's nice to know you're not off in a ditch someplace. But you have the same Spirit of God. You have the same Spirit of God, and if I named off all the names of all the, quote, big guys or big gals in the, I mean that in a nice way, ladies, in the body of Christ, that you have to understand that you have the same Spirit of God in you. Why can't we just simply walk down the middle of the road, value and esteem them, instead of either getting in the ditch on one side and putting them all down and saying, I don't listen to none of them. I just get it direct. Or we put them up on a high pedestal that they didn't even ask to be put. And then when they make a mistake or whatever, we are so quick to grab that pedestal and let them fall into the ground, and then we badmouth them. Why can't we just honor and value them as people that have spent time and spent their time and spent their dues spending time with Jesus? But the same Spirit, at the end of the day, the same Spirit that's in them is in you. I just say this. Let this be your definition of loyalty. Loyalty is not speaking disparagingly about one person and valuing somebody else. Did you hear what I said? That's not loyalty. Loyalty is not, oh, Pastor Dan, you're the greatest. But that last pastor we had, well, you were a real loser. Because you know what? I've been around the barn a few times, and I know that the ones that speak that way to my face, then the next story they tell, I'm the guy that's the loser. So we're not going to show loyalty by honoring one person at the expense of somebody else. Loyalty means we value everybody the same. Right? So that kind of goes back to the previous one. But when it comes to giving the word final authority, we want to make sure that we're always governed by the influence of the Spirit of God, not our own heads, not our own theology, not how we were raised, not what mom and them said, not what Uncle so-and-so said. I had a conversation on the phone with a guy one time who's a Jehovah's Witness, and basically his whole line of argument was, well, look, my parents told me, and is it possible that maybe your parents didn't have all the insight? And that there's actually something more in this that you're not seeing. So we want to give room for the Spirit of God to bring correction and to bring adjustment in our thought processes and how we think. We don't want to have pet doctrines. We don't want to say, well, this is what I believe. At the expense of the Spirit of God is trying to move you from point A to point B, but you don't want to leave point A because point A is comfortable. Right? So the next one is living from the inside out, being Spirit attentive. And I guess I got about 5 or 10 minutes to hit this one, but I want to show you some things in the Word of God. You know, we talk about being Spirit attentive. What does that look like? You know, this core value talks about being understanding that the real world is not what's going on around you, but it's actually what's going on in you. That you want to be willing to receive direction and promptings and give voice to prayer that will establish and demonstrate. At one point I said the dominion of the kingdom system, but we ought to say it like this. We want to give voice to prayer that will establish and demonstrate the saturation of the kingdom. Because how many know behind what's seen, the only kingdom that has any power is the kingdom of God. And it is everywhere. Everywhere you show up, the kingdom of God is there. So what does that look like? Well, if you go to the book of Acts, just go ahead and turn to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 7. And while you're there, I'm just going to read something out of Ephesians. Ephesians, Paul talks about the administration of God. The administration of God. You know, I told you as a natural man, you kind of have, you think out of your own head and you, you function by your emotions and your mind, and you know what you hear in the news and what you get as input in from other sources around in during natural life. But in addition to that, you know what happens so many times is we just kind of we live in our own interests. Paul said, he said, well, I think he said it about Timothy. He said, one of the things I like about Timothy is he's not focused on his own interests. He's focused on the interests of Jesus, the interests that Jesus has. And I'm not even talking about, you know, make up a ministry that you like and then call that the interests of Jesus. I'm talking about just the fact that all the time we're paying attention to what's going on in here with the Spirit of God. And we make that be our interest. You know, I love pizza like the next guy. He used to love it a whole lot more 50 pounds ago. Well, maybe 40. 45 pounds. But I still like it, but the fact is I don't want to like pizza more than I like training my flesh to be so loud that I can't pick up what's going on in my spirit. So, what does it mean? What does it look like? I mean, sometimes we have all these ideas. Well, you know, it's, he speaks to you, and it's the audible voice. You know, and Jesus spoke to Jesus, and the audible voice, people heard it. So you go around trying to find audible voices and listen to audible voices. When actually, you know, Paul talked about it from the standpoint, it's the administration of God. I love that word administration, because what is the first thing, if you think about a president, what does he do? He hires, the first thing he does when he gets into office is he brings in all the folks to administer the system. So us paying attention to what's going on in our spirit is simply us being willing to plug into and be a part of his administration of the plan and what he accomplished through Jesus. So over in Acts chapter 7, I'm just going to hit a few of them. I've got so many of them, but I won't hit all of them. But Acts chapter 7, how many know your mind and your spirit are supposed to work in conjunction with each other? That's why it's so important. Folks, if you don't have a lifestyle of being in this, you're in trouble. Because you're gonna want to be spiritual and you're gonna act spiritual. You're gonna want to say, "Well, the Lord told me," but the problem is the only thing it told you was your mind that wasn't connected to this. And so we always want to stay in this, because this, when we train our mind how to think as a new creation, according to what the Spirit of Truth is showing us in His Word, and He'll never contradict Himself. It's important you understand that. If you have a grand revelation, but if it contradicts other parts of Scripture, then it's not from the Spirit of God. Let's get more specific. If it contrasts, it's contrary to anything else in the New Covenant, it's not the Spirit of God. He doesn't contradict Himself, nor is the Spirit of God a schizophrenic. He doesn't have different personalities and tell you different things, and they don't gel. So, but how does that look? Well, in Acts chapter 7, in verse 23, this is even when in Moses's season, the Spirit of God, the way He directed Moses was He would cause things to enter into his mind. If you read the writings of Nehemiah, the Spirit of God would cause things to enter his mind. He would receive promptings by the Spirit of God. This particular verse says it in verse, let's look at verse 20. It says, "It was at this time that Moses was born, and he was lovely in the sight of God." And then verse 23 said, you know, he grew up in Pharaoh's house. Verse 20. He says, "But when he was approaching the age of 40, it entered his mind to visit his brethren." Now, how many know that was the Spirit of God? Folks, I'm telling you, there are so many ways that you probably are already being aware of what's going on the inside of you. But I can honestly tell you, I grew up in church and I was never trained one single time ever what that looked like. so that everything that I read in scriptures was disconnected from me. And unfortunately, so much of what we have in the mindsets are nowadays, you read what's in here, and because we stay in religious systems that train us and reinforce our natural mind, we're not being trained how to live the way the new man was supposed to live. So you read the book of Acts, and well, that's just not for now. Where do you think that mindset came from? Because it came from men who didn't know how to live there. So they told everybody else that it wasn't for now. But there's so much. If you go through the book of Acts, Acts 8:23. This is Peter talking to the dude that was converted under Philip's ministry because somebody came to town that had more power than he did. And he was intrigued by that. So Peter came in behind him, and he looked at the guy and he said, look, I'm seeing that you're in the gall of bitterness. I'm seeing, that's really what it says in the Greek New Testament. I'm seeing that you're in the gall of bitterness. Exactly. Was that just something special for Peter? No, that's for every human being that's a new man. But we have to train ourselves to know how to live there. Because your spirit sees things, you got to pay attention to what your spirit's showing you. It's not the spirit of criticism. I'll just put that one out there. Because so many times folks, you know, they quote, discern, but it's always tearing somebody down, and they call that the gifts of the spirit. So your spirit sees things. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26, it's interesting that an angel spoke to Philip and gave him specific geographical directions on where to go in Gaza. Now, is that just for then, or is that now? You know, Peter said, as he quoted Joel, that the fullness of the Spirit, that which comes out of the Spirit, includes dreams and visions, as well as the prophetic. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get involved in Iran. I just haven't figured out where yet. Because Jesus is doing some pretty awesome stuff in Iran. People are having dreams. This cab driver had a dream that he picked up some woman, had a certain color of scarf on. And in the dream, a voice said, she knows what you need. So he was on a call, he got a call, went to pick up this call, and it was this woman. She had the same scarf on. He looked at her in the rearview mirror all like he saw a ghost. And she said, well, what's the matter? Can we get going? Because I'm in a hurry. And he said, I saw you in a dream, and this voice told me that you'd know what I needed. And because she was a new model, a new creation, she said, yeah, I know what you need. Here it is. And she gave him a New Testament. And there's more people being won to Christ over there in Iran because of what Jesus is saying to them in their dreams. Go to such and such a place, just like telling Philip, go to this strip. And so he got there. And when he got there, the Spirit of God, he saw this chariot running across the ground. And as he was looking at it, the Spirit of God said, go join yourself to that chariot. See, so much of the stuff that we see in the New Testament, it's not that it doesn't happen today. It's just that maybe we are so used to functioning under the old church model, and the old church model doesn't have to do any of that. We don't have to put ourselves in a position to where we have to hear, because that seat's pretty comfortable. But you don't see those kinds of things. The only reason we see the things we see in the book of Acts is because these people were willing to put themselves in a position where the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit had to be there. They just had to be there. What if Philip had said, you know what, I'm kind of feeling like I'm supposed to go down to this road in Gaza, but I don't really feel like it today. I'll do it tomorrow. Would he have made that connection? Here was a guy who was second He was over the entire treasury of the Queen of Africa. I think he's a pretty influential guy. And the Spirit of God connected him because Philip listened right then and there. So that's the only reason. Acts chapter 9, verse 10, we see the issue of dreams coming into play. Acts chapter 11, when Peter's talking to Cornelius and all of his household, he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Maybe the reason why we're not seeing the things that we see in the book of Acts is because we're not beginning to speak. And I'm not saying, folks, that we have to begin to speak and spiritual things come out of our mouth immediately. Why don't we just, let's just begin to speak. In fact, I put this challenge out there for all of us. Between now and the end of the year, I challenge you three times to put yourself out there in a place you don't know and begin to speak to someone about anything. And believe God to lead you around to minister to them in a spiritual manner. Just three times. October, November, and December. Three times. I challenge you to start a conversation with somebody about the Cardinals and end up praying for their leg because it's hurt. Now don't say, man, the Cardinals really suck. Because that'll kind of shut the door, you know. But you know what I mean. Maybe the only reason why some of these things we read about in Scripture is because we just don't begin to speak. See, the system of the world has trained us well. Shut up, keep to yourself. And of course, we facilitate that and we live our life with our blinders on. It's bad enough having a smartphone. It's a dumb phone. Because all everybody does is go to the mall sometime and watch. Everybody's in their phone. They're walking past each other, but everybody's on their phone. So we're completely oblivious to anything going on around. That's a spirit killer. You're not going to catch what he's talking. If you don't make eye contact with people, study the book of Acts. How did Paul know that this man, after he'd been preaching, how did he know that he had faith, he had been receiving faith to be healed? Because his gaze locked on to him. And it wasn't a natural thing. You'll find this in a number of places. It happened with Peter, with the man at the gate, beautiful, and Paul, when he was ministering, that guy had faith to be healed. It's a supernatural thing. He hooks you. If you can't seem to get away from somebody, and your gaze always goes back to them, your attention always goes back to them, that's what it looks like. That's one of the ways it looks like. To be paying attention to what's going on in your spirit, being spirit aware. See, there's so much of this stuff that if we just get trained in it, we'll look just like these guys. I don't know about you, but this is where I'm going to live my life. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah, everybody has to make that choice. But this is where I want to live my life. Because this is where the Spirit of God is. Right? And so a lot of these things, and we'll pick up next week, but a lot of these things, I mean, you probably already have this stuff going on in your life. You just don't realize, you don't key in on it, you don't recognize it. But you're a new model, and this is what the new model looks like. I'm going to read one verse, then we're going to quit. 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. I challenge you to reread the letters of Paul and notice the times when Paul talks about, see if you can pick up on the times that Paul describes what being spirit attentive looks like. Because he mentions things in there. He talks in his letters, he talks about it. Even Paul said, he told the Colossian church, hey, pray for me that as I open my mouth, utterance is given. You hear that? As I open my mouth. See, you open your mouth first. That takes a step. Am I willing to stand here? Am I willing to put myself in this place right here where I got zero to say about Jesus? I don't know what to say, but I'm going to trust the Lord that when I open my mouth, He'll fill it. Fight the urge to just give Him what you got in your head, because that's easy. But let's put ourselves in a position. Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians 3. And you all can stand up. He prayed this. His prayer for them was that God would direct their hearts into His love. That He would direct their hearts into His love. That He would direct their hearts into His love. See, I've read that before and never realized that what He was actually speaking of was, this is what life being spirit attentive looks like. You pay attention to what the direction, the love of God, the compassion of God's directing you. You pay attention to those things. See, if we get too busy in life, folks, if we're too busy in life to pick up on this stuff, you're too busy in life. Because your number one assignment as a new man is not anything peripheral. Your number one as a new man is... It's not who you are on your job. It's not what you do. It's not where you're going. It's nothing else. It is the administration of God. The administration of God. That is our assignment. That is what we're here on the planet for. That's why He put His Spirit in us. Because we want to administer the plans and purposes of God of bringing heaven from heaven into the earth so that it can be heaven on earth for somebody else. So they can experience the presence of Jesus and the presence of the Spirit of God. And the way He does that is He directs us into, He directs us by His love. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for everybody in this room. And Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit. I thank You for raising up a people that love to flow in Your compassion, that love to flow by Your Spirit, that love to open their mouth and see You fill it every time. And I thank You, Lord, that I am surrounded by people that their first passion is You. And I speak to those situations in their life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, You're not going to be a distraction. You're not going to be a hindrance. Because greater is He that's in them than you that's in the world. And they are going to fulfill everything that Father had planned for them. They're not going to veer to the right or to the left, but they're going to have it all. And we're growing in our love walk, we're growing in our revelation walk, we're growing in our ability to communicate from heaven. And I just thank You for that. And I thank You that as we step out, Lord, and we make a choice to speak to just three people in the next 3 months, that every time we step out, and the Spirit of God's going to be there, and that person's going to taste heaven direct. And we just thank You for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, amen. What an awesome day.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.